Did you know that the original Final Fantasy creator, Hironobu Sakaguchi, made a spiritual successor to that legendary series called Fantasian for Apple Arcade, and every level in the game is a handmade, physical miniature model? Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a 1 month free trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only. $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled. Pixel Sift is proudly supported by Murdoch University School of Arts. At Murdoch University School of Arts, you can study a degree that'll keep up with the fast pace of modern media. It's designed in consultation with industry and business, and the Bachelor of Creative Media allows you to specialise in sound, graphic design, screen production, photography, or games art and design. Whether you like playing games or making your own music or making films, you can use your creative skills to make new things. And the Bachelor of Creative Media is broad enough that allow you to be competitive when you enter into the workforce. Search Murdoch University and head to the website for more information. Murdoch University School of Arts, proudly supporting Pixel Sift. Hello and welcome to Pixel Sift. It's the Western Australia's very own video game podcast, but we talk to people from all around the world, including places in Australasia, and we talked to someone in New York the other week, and everywhere, and we look
Spoiler.
At... Well, keep tuned, but we basically look at the topics in the world of gaming, and we talk to the people who make games that you are looking forward to playing. One of those people is Roman Maximician. Roman, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me on.
Roman's from Melbourne's BitDragon. We're going to be talking all about his game Hyper Jam.
You want it to be called Hyper Dragon so bad.
It wants to be, yeah. BitDragon, Hyper Jam. What else are we talking about today, Mitch, where I don't need to read?
Yeah. So we were all glued to the Overwatch League last week and got us wondering, like, I guess a lot of other sports, A-League sports teams are starting to try and emulate that kind of success, so we'll be taking a look at that.
That's right. Let's jump in, shall we?
Visit us on pixelsift.com.au.
Yeah, so the much-hyped Overwatch League went live and exceeded expectations, but so there are a lot more E-Leagues that are starting to pop up, and each A-League side and a lot of football teams are now planning to throw their own players into the mix by playing games like FIFA 18 and other sporting-related titles.
I think what's really interesting about the Overwatch League is it sort of represents a next level of esports stuff that we haven't quite seen yet. We were talking a little bit about the presentation of it before, that it's actually it's effectively a TV show, mm-hmm. really, more than a live stream like people would previously know it as.
Yep.
It really does draw on those television production skills. Now, Roman, are you much of an esports watcher yourself? Do you ever tune into those at all?
Yeah, I watch a fair amount of Street Fighter competitive, watch Capcom Cup and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've been watching a bit of Overwatch League as well. I find it quite fascinating, really. Just seeing it take off like this. Just compared to just basically exactly like you said. It feels so much more like watching sport or TV show or something rather than just someone streaming or something like that. They're really taking it to another level.
Yeah, that's it. It does feel like a whole new level. You know, esports has been trudging along for, I could probably say 10 years, really. But I haven't really got too in. I have become too invested into it. But Overwatch, this was well polished. It was great, and especially such like a fast paced, hard to watch game, especially on PC. They've made it really entertaining and awesome. And I think this is it. This is the new framework for esports. This is what, exactly. This is the new norm. I think we will be expecting to see a lot of this, especially in 2018 with the NBA 2K League, the FIFA leagues coming up again. Like you said, the A League, or what they're calling the E League,
Australia, which
starts in a few weeks. Very exciting. Now we've got more. I know we've touched on esports a bunch of times over the last year, but there's more people and more teams involved than ever before. You know, you've got actually teams getting players to represent them in their FIFA league. You know, Italian leagues and German especially is quite big.
Yes, yeah, so I think part of the big push is during that 26 hours of the Twitch.tv stream, it was almost 430,000 people. It maxed out at that many concurrent viewers.
Mm. Yeah, that's crazy. I've got actually some pretty interesting stats if you want to get statty.
Yeah, let's get some stats.
So the total watch time was 17 million hours. And then if you exclude the Chinese viewers, it's only 5.7 million. The total views on all channels on Twitch.tv were like almost 13 million, with viewership peaking at over 415,000 on the opening night. But it rarely dipped below 150,000 at any point in the opening week.
I think one of the most...
At any given time, 150,000. Like, whoa.
What is most important to think about this is, yes, this league is obviously doing huge things, but the amount of money spent on it is approaching these other sports that are now getting into, you know what I mean?
Not just that, but the teams that play in this league had to pay like $20 million to get into it.
Exactly.
What's his name? Robert Kraft, who owns the New England Patriots as the NFL team. Mm. He is the owner of Boston Uprising.
Right.
So, yeah, I can't remember where I was going with that.
But yeah, that's huge
it's
amounts.
It's interesting.
It's huge, huge amounts of money. And it's quite evident when you look at the production quality of what's there that this is obviously at a different scale. And I think what is really fascinating to see is the... So, for example, in France, their local...
Paris Saint-Germain?
Yeah. their soccer league, League One, had an E-League one, and that's been running for two seasons. And now the A-League is going to be starting up. Their E-League in Australia, the Football Federation Australia, starts in February. And, you know, Major League Soccer now will also have players that will be playing for each of the U.S. soccer teams as well, partnering with the FIFA EA Sports
game. Speaking of France, and like I said, Paris Saint-Germain were one of the teams that have their own player to represent them. And as far as like, so the FIFA 17 league, of the top 10 teams, five of them were players from proper teams. So you've got like Wolfsburg, Schalke 4, Paris Saint-Germain, Ajax Amsterdam, West Ham, and you've got a couple of other Euro ones in there. So most of the top 10 was actual sports team people, you know, or representing a proper sports team in real life.
Yes, and I think that's the
crazy
idea.
Crazy. I'd say you see that in 2018, it'll be the full top 10 will be filled out.
What I think is really interesting about this is that obviously there's going to be a bit of a gold rush, I think, in this particular thing as now people start to invest heavily into this. And as we've seen in previous investments as well, you've got teams who are being bought into by owners of the NBA teams in the US. Mm-hmm. And as you said, Robert Kraft as well has bought into the Overwatch.
F1's got into it now as well.
F1.
We're going to see driving come into it very soon. I know, it's crazy.
Roman, what would you, how long do you watch this sort of stuff? And is it something that you would be sitting down and watching it dedicated? Or is it something that you would just have on in the background and tune in as you go?
Yeah, it would depend on the game, I think. For something like Street Fighter, which I would play a lot myself, I would probably actually dedicate like, you know, a few hours to sit down and, you know, fully watch it. But, yeah, for Overwatch, I think it's partially because I haven't become familiar with the teams and haven't developed that almost like personal connection yet. I'll usually watch that in the background or just watch the highlights. But I can see it as as you get to learn the players and the relationships between the teams. Like I could really see people getting invested, including myself, and becoming more like a thing, like regular sports, I guess. Mm. Yeah.
It was a bit difficult for some Australians because like we don't have a team in that league.
Or so we've got that one caller, which actually did help a lot.
Yeah. Mm.
But besides that, yeah, no representation. Sorry, Mitch, go.
So essentially we're just picking like which team jersey looked the best. And then that was like whoever you went for. But now I think that might be just a small That's just a barrier for entry, I think, as people...
You'll pick your favourite eventually, but you can't pick it in one match or two match or 1 week even.
Mm.
It'll be similar to what happened with the AFL in Australia. For years, Western Australia didn't have a team, not until 1980-something, and people used to just support the Melbourne teams, and basically.
Then it was another 10 years before we had a second option.
Exactly. So it's just a matter of that time. What I think is sort of really interesting is they've done a really good job at sort of making this as accessible for people who, you know, don't sort of aren't 100% familiar with the game itself. And Roman, I wonder if in the fighting games they do this as well, where they kind of have these sort of explanation sort of sections where they break down the gameplay and
they
stuff like that.
They soften up the language a little bit as well, so there's not such a huge barrier.
There's often, I like when they have they have multiple commentators. There's often, you know, one of them talking about the more highly technical aspects and bouncing off someone who's giving a high level overview. I think that really, it both allows people who aren't so familiar to become acquainted with it, but also learn and get to that intermediate or even like a pro level of knowledge.
Yeah.
Which in turn allows them to get more invested, which I think they do a great job of that. It's not only is that kind of commentary good in Overwatch League though. I think the fact that Blizzard have really invested in like their broadcasting tools, like, you know, the people who are actually commentating, you know, they're having like top down views of the map at all times and, you know, all kinds of tools to like get different camera angles and, you know, understand, get a good sense of the game as a spectator, which I don't know how many other companies have really done, at least I know of. I'm sure maybe like Dota or something has invested that level. But,
well, it's the parallels.
It's really cool seeing that sort of stuff as well.
Between normal broadcast sport has all that sort of stuff, and it's really amazing how much of that is just straight taken from AFL or soccer or tennis or whatever.
To be fair, done so much better. I don't know how sports calling casting's done in other countries too much. I mean, besides soccer, which is pretty much done the same way worldwide. But the problem I have with our sportscasters in Australia is they get too chummy and they try to make up for that lack of catering for everybody, say with your experts and your middlemen. They kind of just get a bit naffy, like they're the entertainment, but they're not. Like, that's not the point.
You're not a big fan of Roy and HG?
That's a good crack. But... you know, the cricket problems over there with the Ashes recently and stuff. And I really enjoyed watching this, especially since I've watched other Overwatch comps over the last year or two and have not really enjoyed it at all. Like, and I really like Overwatch, but something about this, they've nailed it.
I think what you're saying, though, is cricket's a slow sport and they need to pad a lot in cricket.
Yeah,
and I don't need to do that.
They're not entertainers. They're bloody cricketers. leave the pads on the legs, kids. Jeez.
Oh, jeez. Sledging them already off the field, Matt.
Uh-oh.
Would you like to turn Hyper Jam into an esports game? Is it something that could be expanded out?
Could you see that?
It's at this point, we're just trying to see it out the door and build a high quality product, like a core, I guess, to build off. I mean, it definitely has competitive value. it's so hard to say. Like, it's our first game as well, so it's not like we have any personal data to go off. But we do get a lot of people saying that like they would really like to see this streamed, and you know they would like to see. Like, they think it could actually work as an esport. I mean, at this point, it feels, I don't know, just so crazy to think of it like that.
You've got to reach for the stars.
Drink day-to-day of development. But
you want people to head down to the Hyper Jam Arena and battle it out.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the potential's there, but they'll largely depend on how people respond to it on launch, I'd say.
Perfect. Well, look, you know, we can talk about esports forever, and we probably will at some stage every time keep coming back into doing a bit more.
Do you know what?
Before you sign me off, there is
a wicked alternative to the FIFA Ultimate Comp and esports circuit that I've seen in general. And Port Vale and soccer fans your soccer fans out there know who I'm talking about. Like QPR, Queens Park Rangers, have taken a different route to the FIFA players, and they're doing a virtual gaming league, which is each player controls one footballer in the club.
That's what I thought would be a much better...
So it's not like FIFA one-on-one. It's like, you know, 11-11 type thing. Or 10-10. I don't know if the goalkeeper would be... Anyway, that's all I had to say.
So, okay. So You just basically have one player and you just have to play the best as you can as that one person.
Yeah, just like any other game, like Overwatch or Dota or whatever. You play that one character.
Yeah.
And if we're finally getting to... Okay, and just another thing I'll say on why esports is becoming so popular now. These games are a lot easier to consume for the masses compared to your Dotas and your League of Legends. That's it.
Definitely good. All right, well, let's jump into our next topic, shall we?
Please.
That's right. You are listening to Pixel Sift. It's a fortnightly, weekly slash podcast slash let's play thing. Joining us, if you're just joining us, we are joined by Roman Maximician. He is the creative lead and gameplay programmer at Melbourne's Bit Dragon, and they are working on the game Hyper Jam.
Good job.
Now Roman, if people haven't heard of Hyper Jam, what is it all about?
Yeah, so it's... Neo-80s arena brawler where players choose power-ups after each round. So it's kind of a similar league to a vein to Lethal League or Gang Beasts, I guess. But we've really tried to, make it less random to make sure there's a high skill ceiling. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of focus on the fluidity and physicality of the combat. And also replayability just by virtue of choosing these power-ups after the end of each round. So basically what happens is, say, in a four-player game, at the end of the round, four power-ups will appear, and whoever's coming last will get the first choice of those. And all those power-ups will stay with you for the whole game and stack and combine, leaving you with like a unique build by the end of the game. So it keeps it pretty fresh.
So, and if people have, you sort of said it's like an 80s inspired. What does the game actually look like if people are listening to the podcast and haven't had a chance to see, and how does it play?
We're not trying to do a throwback and, copy existing 80s styles. We're also bringing... lots of clean and modern elements to it. So I guess it's a kind of fusion between a sort of neo-80s cyberpunk and a more modern, clean aesthetic. So if you imagine somewhere between Overwatch and Kung Fury.
It's the 2580s or something like that.
And the gameplay, it's a top-down camera. Mm-hmm. It would be similar to something Gang Beasts or... Arena Gods, which is an Australian game.
I'm looking at the maps and they're pretty dynamic. I just saw someone get run over by a train because they were in the wrong position. And that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. So we have a few maps. I can't announce all of them yet, but some of the ones you would have played at PAX were the Neo Tokyo subway level where you can hit players off the edge and they'll get hit by trains. And we have a factory map with pits that open and close and, dynamic cover on the form of rails. We have, a hotel, Miami rooftop level, fight on top of a hotel. And we have a few other levels that we are working on internally, but, we'll release in the coming months.
I've got a question from Twitch here. What inspired you to go for that sort of top-down style brawler? How did the idea kind of come about?
The games we made before this project, the other team members, we'd made two other top-down brawlers before this. So I guess part of it was us knowing, getting a real feel for what works and what doesn't and feeling like we have experience in that sort of genre. But also it works for a lot of reasons. As a couch co-op game, top-down camera just really works as a shared screen because you can get a lot of the dynamics of you can still move the camera around and see everything that's going on without basically needing to dedicate a portion of the screen to one user in split screen or something. We were contemplating making back when this game was in its inception, whether it would be a 2D sort of platformer game like Towerfall or something, but we decided to go the top-down 3D, because, yeah, it just solved a lot of the issues that we were having at the time.
Now, you mentioned you've been showing it off at PAX, and how did the audience kind of react to it? I remember you have been at the last two, at least, that I've seen. How do people take to the game, and, you know, what sort of feedback have you been getting?
Yeah, people respond to it exceptionally well at PAX, which is very inspiring for us and exciting. It's the kind of game that really flourishes in that kind of environment. If you're, you know, playing with a group of friends, and, you know, I think also on that note, this is the kind of thing that makes us feel that it does have some viability as a esport. Like, we have crowds of people, you know, queuing up to play and, you know, like cheering the players who are actually, you know, engaged in it. And the fact that it's that enjoyable for both players and spectators, I guess, gives us some high hopes there.
And I noticed that overall, it's also...
very positive reception.
It's not just a couch co-op game as well. You can play online against people as well.
Yeah, that's right. So, that's something we've been working on quite a lot the past few months. Internally, we've got quite solid prototypes. We're hoping to do an online beta at some point. It's really starting to shape up, we're pretty confident in our ability to deliver a good online experience as well. Again, I think it will be best enjoyed with some friends, like on a Discord, and, you know, mm-hmm. talking to each other. But we're also trying to support matchmaking and trying to make it as easy as possible to play online by yourself as well. Because a thing we didn't want to slip into was shutting off, you know, people who don't have friends over, or, like, you know, don't have enough controllers, that sort of thing. So we think that adding online is going to resolve a lot of those accessibility issues as well.
So are there any plans to bring it to, like, another platform, like the consoles or the Switch?
Yeah,
We'd love to
bring it to console. Yeah.
I consider its own thing now.
Basically, can't confirm or deny whether we'll be coming. I think we definitely want to, and if time and budget permits us, we will. But I basically can't give a solid answer on that at this point, unfortunately.
I've got another question from Twitch. With the online functionality, is there a plan to include sort of a global leaderboard or anything like that, so people can compete on that and compare against their friends?
Yeah, we've been talking about basically what kind of online functionality we can bring to that. Like, well, basically figure out what people are wanting, and we're not sure whether we will launch with something like a leaderboard, but definitely in future we hope to support online ranks, and if we add a single player modes, like online leaderboards and stuff like that, would be awesome.
It sounds like you're pretty active on working on the game still quite currently. It's been a couple of months since we've seen it at PAX anyway. What's happened in that time?
A lot of that has been just building up that netcode and making sure that it's a very solid experience. Because, no one wants to play a game online that feels bad. Yeah, so we've been going all out on the, you know, client prediction and, just making sure it feels as premium as it does offline. We've also been adding new maps. And, we've also just, like, polished things. We've been adding voice lines, we're looking to add taunts, and just designing the online experience and what that's going to entail. Again, nothing's set in stone yet. A lot of it is just trying to actually just design and prototype a whole heap of different stuff and see what feels right. But some of the stuff we're working on is experience systems and like level ups and unlocks, and planning out stuff like character skins like, again, none of this is set in stone. We're not sure what's going to feel right at this point, but I'm hoping once that we have the online component and the beta is launched, we can actually talk to the community and the fans of Hyperjam and see what they would actually like to see.
When are you looking to have that beta ready for us to play?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Yeah, sorry.
We don't have an exact date just yet. I would imagine it would be within the next few months.
Great.
That's awesome. It's so hard.
He's just really disappointed he didn't get to play it at PAX.
No, yeah. I did. I did. I remember playing it very briefly, and I was not good at it. I guess it's hard for the non-developer people to, go to PAX and play it and be like, oh, cool, I want to sink my teeth into this, but not understanding the process and that there's still, six-ish months ahead of you. And trying to understand what it is that happens in that time, I find that kind of interesting as a non-developer myself.
That's the thing, that we're also we're a small team.
There's, you have lives and I'm assuming jobs and whatever.
Yeah, we are currently working on this full time.
Oh, fantastic.
Just the scope of what we're undertaking and the limited resources as indie developer on our first game. Sometimes things can't progress as fast as we'd like. But yeah, I'm pretty satisfied with our progress, and I think anyone who's anxiously awaiting news should be pleasantly surprised when we do announce what we've been working on.
Awesome to hear.
Watch this space.
Yeah.
Now, you got some support from Film Victoria middle of last year-ish, and you've just been announced that you've got a grant from Unreal as well to support the game. How much of a difference does that make to you developing the game, and what did it feel like to get that grant?
It's a huge difference. I mean, that the Film Victoria grant is, I mean, the game, there's no way it would be what it is today without that. That grant has basically allowed us to quit our jobs and, actually take this seriously and work on it full time and establish a studio.
So good.
And the Epic Games grant, that's really just a cherry on top. I mean, we weren't like expecting to receive that by any means, and when we got the news, it was just it's very exciting, and it does mean big things for the game. It means that we will have money for marketing and money to add more content and to basically sustain us as we support the game through the opening months and patch it up and everything.
Just that, from the Epic Games side of thing as well, but like they thrust you into their kind of their spotlight as well, which is, I guess, priceless almost.
Yeah. Epic have been great really to us throughout the entire process. They're very supportive. We get great support from them on the forums. We have people in Melbourne that help us out all the time as well. Then this grant coming through is it's just crazy.
Like you said, the cherry on the top.
Yeah, it's it means really big things to us as a new studio, because we don't have that kind of capital to invest into the game before it's released. So every bit counts. So that really helps us a lot.
Very, very exciting at Casa del Bit Dragon. Sounds very good. Now, if people want to find out a bit more about the game before it comes out, maybe keep an eye out for any beta releases or any information about potential, maybe not, who knows, potential console releases. Where should they go to if they want to find out more info?
Yeah, depends on what info they're looking for. There's a mailing list on our website, hyperjamgame.com. If you add your email to there, that's how you'll likely get access to the beta. We'll post major updates on Steam. So you can add us, if you just search Hyperjam into Steam, you can add us to your wish list there, and you'll get notifications within Steam about launch and major updates. And you can also follow us on social media, Hyperjam Game on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We've been a bit had our hands very full with development lately, so haven't posted as many gameplay clips as we'd like, but
But if you're listening to the podcast,
we'll generally post all over our social media whenever we do have major updates. So
okay, I got a comment here from Kinetic Nexus. This game is dope. Best on ground at PAX Rising 2017. Can't wait for this game to drop.
Good call.
And Token Skeptic says the soundtrack is fantastic for the game as well.
Yeah, so you got some fans, mate.
Some fans.
There you go.
Thank you.
Well, look, it's very exciting. We can't wait to play it again and give it another run. And I'm probably going to be the best player, so you guys should just prepare yourself for it now.
Oh, as if.
Wow. What gives you that impression?
I don't know.
Nick's got his hands up in the air. Years of controller.
That's pretty much all we've got time for today. Thank you very much for joining us, Ryan. We really appreciated it. We're very excited to hear more about the game and give it a go when we can get our hands back on it. If you have been listening in and you enjoyed the show, we'd love a rating or a review. I know every podcast in the world asks for it, but it does really make a big difference. And or even better, tell one of your mates to listen to the show. While you're there, you can tell them to visit our brand new website, which is pixelsift.com.au.
Same name, different label. Looks amazing. Check it out.
That's exactly the sort of validation I need. We worked really hard on it. We'll be putting links up to Hyper Jam, and you can see bits and pieces about the game, including all the podcast episodes and the videos as well, so you can have a look all on there. Now, Mitch, we have got all the episodes as well. If you want to go back in time through the mysteries of podcast archiving, where can people go if they want to find out about all those great other episodes we have?
Yeah, so you can go back in time, apparently, on iTunes, Pocket Casts, and pretty much anywhere you get your favorite podcast from, and on Google Play Store, on the Google Play Store in America as well. You can check them out or on the website as well.
That's exactly right. And Scott, if people want to find...
That guy, Scott?
Yeah.
That we work with every week?
I was like, Mitch? No, not Mitch. Scott. It's been a great episode for me talking, I tell
strong,
you what.
Strong.
We have other social media
platforms
as well.
Yeah, we do. We have facebook.com/pixelsift, twitch.tv/pixelsift, twitter.com/pixelsift, and youtube.com/pixelsiftau.
And we'd love you to join our Discord, which is pixelsift.com.au/discord.
Who'd have thunk it?
And you can listen to the episode live as we record it, as if you happen to be on at the time. If you don't want to watch a video, you can just listen to it and put it on.
You can also live chat with us while you're there as well. So you too can be asking questions of our guests.
Come on in. There we go. That's all we've got time for. Thank you very much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure chatting to you, Roman, and we're looking forward to playing some more Hyper Jam.
Hyper Jam.
Yeah. So thank you so much for having me on. Yeah.
See you then.
Nice. Laters. So Scott, we're playing Overwatch tonight.
Yeah, Hyper Jam,
If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.